2 Timothy chapter 3. And yes, I'm going to preach the whole passage, the whole chapter. Don't worry. It won't take me long. It may not take me long, but I feel like this is a message for us. I feel like this is a message that it describes the world and the way we can be in the world. And it tells us who we can follow and who we can't follow. It tells us what we can follow and what we can't follow. And I'm gonna read a few verses, and then I'm gonna just stop and we'll read the rest of them as we go along. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parent, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. I want to stop right there and just... it says that in the last days, perilous times will come. This word perilous is a time that means demon charged. There'll be demon charged times. There'll be people's actions will be led by Satan himself. It is the end times. This is it means savage, dangerous, all those things. It will be. Just what we see and just what we think of. He says, and I'm going to skip down for a minute, having a form of godliness but denying his power thereof, and from such people turn away. Turn away from such people. Don't be led astray. Don't be led into godlessness by these people. From them turn away. Listen, just turn away. Just turn away. Don't have anything to do with them. Now, we're supposed to love people. We're supposed to love everybody. That's right. But it doesn't mean we follow them. It doesn't mean that we follow them into their debauchery. You be the thermostat. You set the tone. You set the temperature. You set it for the people. Let me just read a few things about, well, first, lovers of money. I'm going to pick out lovers of money, proud blasphemers. Lovers of self. I mean, lovers of self. Lovers of themselves. This is where it starts right here. Lovers of yourself. This makes me God. You understand? That if I'm a lover of myself, if I am completely loving myself, then this makes me God. Worship God, love people, use things. Worship self, love things, use people. Worship self, love things, and use people. This, we need to love we need to love God first. Loving ourselves turns away and makes us proud. Blasphemers, blasphemy. This is a sin of insult. We can't have a debate anymore. We can't. We go straight to the insults, straight to personal insults and personal. It just ought not to be so. The personal insults, there's no place for that. Personal insults, and this is just typical of the way that people are, and eventually it reaches down to the family. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, disobedient to parents. I mean, come on, unholy in our attitude toward our parents. And listen, young people, old people, everybody in between, we've got to treat our parents with respect. But listen, parents, they learned it from you. They learned it from you. I can't just stand here and pile on the young people, because we always do. We pile on and pile on. They learn it from you. They learn it from watching you. There's no respect for authority. There's none anymore. They disobey. They despise what is good. Isaiah 50:20. Is it 50:20? 5:20. I knew that 50 didn't sound right. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Amen. Despise what is good. Self-control, slanderers, unforgiving, unloving, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Does this sound familiar? Does it? Sounds like who we are, who we can be. Don't follow those people. And if those people are in here, then don't follow us. For all this sort are of those who creep in the household, take and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sin, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the truth. These are people who are loaded down. They're guilty, and the guilt just has them weighted down. And these guys come in, money. If you just give your money here, you can get rid of your guilt. You can't. Not in that way. You can't get rid of your guilt by giving money. You get rid of your guilt one way and only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. That is the only way that you're always learning. They're always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Let's try this and let's try that and let's try this, and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Never able to come to the knowledge. Listen, you have got to be careful about the leaders that you follow. The leaders that you follow are just as important as the people that you follow, the leaders that you follow. Are these leaders capable of leading you to the truth? Now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, and theirs also was. Jannes and Jambres. Jannes and Jambres. These were guys, except their name is never mentioned in the Bible, by the way, except for right here. What I'm going to tell you is they lived in the days of Moses. They opposed Moses. We know that much. I believe that these were the magicians that opposed Moses whenever he came to Pharaoh, and he said, "Let my people go." And he turned the water into blood. He brought some frogs, and he called forth his magicians. And these magicians did the same thing. They did whatever Moses did. And then this is in Exodus 7:11, 8-7, and 9:11. And then in verses 9-11, Moses brought some boils on the people. And they couldn't come. They couldn't stand before him because they had boils. They had their boils. This is saying that this Jannes and Jambres and these men are like them. These leaders are like them, and they'll be revealed as to who they are. They'll resist the truth. The men of corrupt minds, disapproving concerning the faith, but they will progress no further because they are opposing God. Don't be found to be opposing God. But who can you follow? How about Paul? Yeah. I don't know. How about Paul? See if I can get this right. He's an ex-con. He was ugly. He had a thorn in the flesh. And what else was there about him? Would you follow this man? Would you follow him? Would you? Thank you. Would you follow him? But he was worthy. He said, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my love, my perseverance. You have perfectly followed. You will perfectly follow my life and the doctrine that I have. And you know my motivation for the manner of life that I live, because the doctrine that I preach and the life that I live, does there practice makes perfect. Practice what I do as I say, not as I do. No, I do as I do and not as I say. Do as I do. We always often say, do as I say, not as I do. No, don't tell kids that. Don't tell anybody that. Does their practice equal what they preach? Is a good question. Amen. A lot of guys can stand up here and proclaim good, by the way, and then go out and their lives don't match up. Their lives just don't match up. He says, I've trusted God, my purpose, my faith. I've trusted God, my long suffering. I've been long suffering with people. Long suffering, that says it all right there. Long suffering with people and love and perseverance and persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, Lystra. And you can read Acts chapter 14 for these. He suffered persecution. Now, verse 12, I'm just gonna throw it out there and leave it out there. Let it land on where it lands. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Yep. That's what it says. But you must continue in the things which you have heard and learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for your salvation. Timothy had a Jewish mother and a Greek father. His mother and grandmother were fast approaching and vehement teachers. And he said, you have known the Holy Scripture since you were a child. And now it's time. Mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, it's your responsibility to teach your children about Christ. Amen. The church has their place. The church has its place. It's to be come in beside you and to come in behind you. But it's your responsibility to teach your kids about Christ. It's your responsibility to teach your kids how to live. It's your responsibility. Don't just plan on the church doing it. You also must do it, the church. It lays a foundation for them. I would have never known where to come back to without the foundation. The foundation you lay it and then let them go. I say let them go. There comes a time when you have to let them go. And they have to make their own decisions and they have to suffer the consequences. But one day, they'll remember. They will remember the things that they were taught. And they will, because the foundation was laid, they will come back to that. They'll come back to it. And I'm so thankful for the foundation that was laid in my life so that I could know where to come back to. The sacred writings. You have known that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. The sacred writings, the Holy Scripture. We're not saved because we believe in the Bible. Amen. We're saved because we believe in the Christ that's revealed in the Bible. Amen. Salvation is in Christ alone. Amen. You see, it shows us the Bible. It shows us our need for salvation. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinners. We're all sinners. We've all sinned and we come short of God's glory. The wages of sin is death. We know that the gift that God gives to us is eternal life through Christ our Lord. We're all sinners. We can't save ourselves. And this scripture tells us that. It tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. It's as simple as that. As simple as that. As a verse you learned in Bible school and have known all your life. It's as simple as that. I'm going to skip verse 16 a little bit. It's a real famous verse. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. The final word in our life ought to be, thus saith the Lord. Amen. That ought to be the final word. Thus saith the Lord. When they were asked, the disciples were asked, everybody was turning away from Jesus, and he asked them, are you going to go too? Remember what they said? They said, where are we going to go? You hold the words of truth. Where are you going to go? These are the words of truth. Follow them and follow your godly leaders and the right people. Stand up with me if you would. I'm going to ask you to come forward if you need to come forward. I'm going to ask you to come and kneel at this altar and pray. I'm going to ask you to come and get me to pray for you if you need me to. I'm going to ask you to do it. Christ is the only way. Christ is the answer. Christ is your salvation. And it is in nothing else. What are we going to sing, brother?
Lord, I need you.
Lord, I need you. Let's sing.